Welcome to the Who Am I interviews of the International Pagan Music Association. I am Alfred Wilhawk, the host of these lovely things, and I'm here tonight. I'm so excited, all the way from Vancouver, Canada. I'm with M. Niger, and that is that's Rissy, David, and Jesse. Welcome. How are you all doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
Yes, excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
Like, kind of start us off here. And so tell us a little bit about how you guys got into music together.
Okay, well, so basically Hem Netcher has been kind of a project in the back of my mind for a few years now. It started when I was working on my university degree in Egyptology and art history and all that stuff. I remember being in a class that was talking about like different cultures, like Mesopotamian and Egyptian, like mythos and mythologies, and actually reading their stories, like the transliterated versions of their stories. And there was one story that of the Egyptians that really uses a lot of descriptive words to talk about sound, like what it would sound like to them. And I just thought that that was a very interesting thing, and it was quite a very interesting way for them to describe something, was using so much descriptive sound words. And I thought, wouldn't it be kind of cool to like make a concept album about all of these types of sounds that they're describing from their mythos? And then I was like, well, okay, that's kind of biting a bit more off than I can chew right now. I still have to finish my degree. And so then in 2020, when, you know, all the craziness happened, it's like, well, I got time now. So Dave and I kind of sat down and started, you know, writing and just kind of noodling around, and bits and pieces of the song Anubis kind of came up and about. And then before we knew it, we had bits and pieces for Otherworld. And then we had about five songs. And then I made a post on Facebook, looking for cool people to do stuff with, you know, and then our lovely Jesse.
Do you want to take over that part, Jesse?
Yes, and then Jesse came in.
Yes, sure. Thank you. I have only been doing throat singing for a couple of years before meeting David and Rissy, but I was at that point where I felt so happy about doing it that I wanted to join a band. And I'm always reaching out, and I saw Rissy on Facebook, and I'm like, hey, I can do this and throat sing and do this. And it just so happened that she was saying to me, yeah, we could use a throat singer.
Of course we could.
Yeah. And then so they generously gave me all of the five songs that they had on Google Drive. So I was able to look at them and listen to them, and I was like, wow. So I was I'm the first fan of Hem Netcher. I just loved all the songs, and I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. So at that point, I'm like, okay, ready to get in the game. I had a little microphone attached to my phone, which I downloaded their music, and I just started singing to it. And then I pitched it over to them, and I guess they liked it.
Just a little bit.
Awesome.
I think the other interesting part about that story was, too, that because it was during the pandemic, we were sending things back and forth, and the first time we met was the day before we recorded our first five songs. It was like, hey, Jesse, nice to meet you. Let's record an album tomorrow.
Oh, my.
And it worked out great.
What was that like? That sounds like almost scary.
Honestly, like I wasn't nervous. You know, things had slowed down a little bit enough that we all felt safe enough to rent a studio space just to go and jam in person and, you know, practice all these parts that we've been doing remotely, you know, in our houses and our apartments. And It just, like, for me, I don't know, when we all got together, it was just so easy going. And then we all started, you know, Dave started playing his synth lines. I was singing my part. Jesse's singing his part. And I was like, oh, goosebumps. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's do this.
And I think the important part there was that I think the chemistry was there. I don't know if I ever told Jesse that.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes it's like when you work with other musicians, they have their own process and it's really hard to, like, find the right rhythm. But for us, it was just like, that
it worked really well,
you know,
really quickly.
Everybody took the feedback. It was really, really smooth, and we only built up from there. I think the album was a really, like, that we're working on right now is a, like, refinement of that process, and we're pretty proud of it, how it's coming together.
Totally.
Yeah,
awesome. So what's the best thing about being a pagan group?
Well, for me, it's been really a road of self-discovery. It really is a self-expression, because a lot of the things, you know, that we write about, they're very, very personal topics for what I've experienced. It's almost like, you know, as a visual artist by trade, it's almost like trying to paint that picture instead of using paint or your fingers. You're trying to just use words and the soundscape of the melodies and the rhythms to try and get a visual imagery, you know, of like, well, when I experience this, this is what I saw or what I felt. How do I do that in words and in music? How do I describe that? And, you know, so for me, it's very, it's humbling. It's kind of scary in all truthfulness. I'm kind of like, oh goodness, here I'm vulnerable. Don't hate my stuff, please. But it's been amazing, and I wouldn't, you know, change it for anything. I don't know, Dave.
Yeah, for me, one thing is seeing how different people connect differently with it, with the music, just because it isn't, it's pagan, but it's not anything specific, because we're all following different paths and, you know, still like discovering and learning new things. Yeah. And I think that is an important part, and seeing that the ideas and the intention that went into it behind it still resonates with people in different ways. I think that's the best thing about music. And for me, it's also, I've been for a long time, from my personal practice, had this idea of wanting to play my staff like an instrument. And it was really great for me to see that project come to life, because I knew there was some technological magic I have to weave around that to actually make that happen in reality. But it's been very fulfilling. The first time I was there and was actually playing our music with it, it felt like something that came real, and also seeing people that connected to that and understood where it was coming from was really great for me.
There's a video of that on our Instagram. Yes, if anybody Facebook. Wants to watch it.
Yeah.
The first,
right on. Jesse, you want to add to that?
Yes. I feel like the greatest thing about being a pagan musician is just the people that listen to it. And I think the growing community of pagans in the world, it's just fascinating. It's kind of a new world for me. It's like people want to hear some stuff. They want to hear some new stuff, maybe something a little different. And it's sort of like an hourglass. On one world, you will have the pagan world, and like the Cauldron radio station or the Facebook groups, and they're looking at us like, oh, those guys are different, they're neat, it's interesting, and they're pagan too. But then on the other end of the hourglass, we'll just have our friends we hang out with, or people that we publish our music to online, like the EBM community or the dark wave community, and they'll be like, oh, they're weird, they're different, they're interesting, like, what's going on, you know? So there's like a pull coming from many different ways and many different people. It's just very people oriented, I find. Like, just even some of my friends, they're just like, hey, that's cool, I like that. And maybe it's because they're my friends, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Oh wow. Okay. Talk about putting people on the spot there, Jesse. What's the most challenging thing about being a pagan musician?
Ooh. So far, I think it's trying to figure out like where you fit in within the independent music world. Like, because we're trying to take that pagany folk side and mix it with that dark, dancey electronic beat side, they're two separate worlds in a sense, and trying to find that balance and that merge, you know, when trying to promote online or, you know, look for where's that type of audience, just trying to figure out, you know, how, where do you fit? Do we fit in with this type of a group? Do we fit in with this type of group? Could we fit in with, you know, a metal group? Could we fit in with, you know, like a more techno dark dance type group, you know, like that? Trust, I think so far is just trying to figure that out, as well as to just trying to be, it's not a problem, but I think it's a good thing to be consciously aware of, you know, what you're talking about, what you're sharing, what you're posting from a political point of view, because, you know, as lots of people in the community know, there's been various degrees of not so good lights of symbols and all that sort of stuff being used. So just, it's not a problem, but it's just something to be conscious, being consciously aware of that on a regular basis when you're posting stuff or sharing stuff, or, you know, whether it's from the band page or our own personal pages, you know, just to, you know, making it clearly state that we don't associate with anything of that. That's
I was actually going to say the same thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Like making sure that this is something that is for everybody who feels called to it.
Yes.
And relates to it no matter which way.
Yeah.
And I think speaking up about that and making sure mm-hmm. that everybody knows and is aware of that, and that there shouldn't be, like, that there's no room for bigotry or division.
I would add the hardest thing would be having patience during this challenging time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy to want to rush and get on stage, or to when is it going to start? When are people going to hear it more? You know, because everything we do is paid for by the band, right? Like, so you got a promotion, everything has costs. And it's like, well, we've been putting a lot in. When do we get to sing for people? So, but at the same time, I believe that in a pagan sense, you have to live in the moment. You have to walk the path. And that means all of the different challenges that arise before you. So balancing patience with joy, you know, like enjoying every little painful part of the process and appreciating what we've got going. I mean, when we look back, it's been a year and a half of a long way, and we've come a long way from where we started. So it's easy to look back, but when we're waiting all the time, sometimes it can be hard.
Yeah.
I would say.
Agreed. I'm the first one to admit this. No patience. Agreed.
It's hard. It's
Jesse hard. Keeps me patient.
I've been told I have a calming effect, but I will be honest. Ever since I started throat singing, I've been way more calmer than I used to be. Yeah. So there's something about singing. There's something about meditation. There's something about that is very, I don't know, calming for myself. Yeah. You know, so.
Totally.
How can the IPMA help you to enhance your personal musical reality?
Well, I think it's more, honestly, it's about making connections and just getting to know people. It's about building that community, you know, intentionally with people who want to help everybody out. You know, it's not a competition, even, you know, it's for everybody to work together. And, you know, especially with everything beyond everybody's control, so up in the air, just keeping working with each other and like supporting each other, you know, and just making connections with, you know, you got yourselves down in the States, you know, other people up here, just building that community more, so that when it comes time that we actually can realistically do things again, then that foundation is set and that support system is set in place, and we can, you know, all work together to just have a good time. Really. Exactly.
I think that's what I'm looking forward to when we actually finally do get a chance to play and visit.
Yeah.
We're not going to just play a show. We're going to sit around the fire with friends after.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you know, Alfred, we had a big January set up. We had January. We were going to be practicing every week.
Yeah.
We had a show early February.
Yeah.
And it got canceled and the practices stopped and we're stuck in limbo. Going, now what?
Yeah.
So I think things are looking better slowly. And we're hoping that we can get, like, the wave can go down and then we're going to, like, come out of, it's like when the storm comes, everybody hides in the house. And then when the sun comes out, everybody's going to come out and play. We got to time it right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and getting everybody together to work together with each one. I think that's mm-hmm. really important right now.
And we appreciate you being there for us and hosting for us, and not only what you do as a beacon for artists and people to listen to pagan artists, but also you're a person and, you know, you have knowledge and you have wisdom and, you know, we can learn from each other and just be friends.
Yeah, we look forward to this as well. We really appreciate you guys, and we are looking so forward to being able to all gather again.
Sitting around that fire, having a drum circle, everybody just having a good time, like laughing mm-hmm. and joking. Like, we are all very much looking forward to that too. Yeah.
All right. So, and this is the part that I was like, the part of our interview that I was like really excited about is that at the beginning of the interview, we played Void. First, can you tell us about Void, how it came about? And, you know, please don't forget to, this is the time, put in that plug for where the people can buy. Y'all need to buy this music because it's important. So go for it, guys.
Well, how do we start? So the new album, Void is the first single we're releasing from the new album called The Song of Trees. And that album is about the elements, earth, air, fire, water, and void, because I feel personally that a lot of people shy away from something that might be dark thinking it's evil, but I don't believe darkness is evil. It's just a different perception and a different way of looking at things. So Void, for me, when I was writing the lyrics and, you know, some of the melodies, it's very much about you're like looking into your inner self and just looking at it head on and being like, okay, what do I got to work on? What do I don't got to work on? You know, and I also kind of joke and go, it's our creepy Victorian England London Cthulhu song. So, hey, but just because of the nature of some of the way some of the sounds turned out, it always just kind of gave me that kind of like Van Helsing crawling down the streets, you know, type like cheesy vibe, because big nerd. But you know, like even with using this instrument, which I actually got gifted at a pagan gathering, the Rota lyre, it really adds this kind of creepy Landvetir kind of sound to it. And it was we weren't sure how it was going to sound when we recorded it, but it definitely recorded way like so nice that we were like, note to self, use this in more songs next time. Okay.
It really worked in telling that story between combining like the modern digital sounds and like a really old traditional instrument.
Yeah, exactly.
This has been around since the Middle Ages.
Yes. Not that one specifically, but that style has been around since the Middle Ages. It's a Welsh instrument, but so that's kind of, you know, where my rough headspace was at when kind of looking at it. There was actually more verses and more lyrics to it, but we decided to take them out because it fit more chanty, just to try and get you into that trance-like state. It fit a little bit better to just keep just the chorus, basically, is what you hear. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have much to add other than what I said about the instrument. I'm also always proud when writing a song that's not traditionally verse, chorus, verse structured. Yes. So, actually, it's the same structure as Otherworld. It turned out to be the same structure as Otherworld, but it seems to be working for us. So it's like a longer introductory part and then a break in the middle and then just a dancey, like quicker towards the ending. Very, very yes. chanty.
With Jesse's amazing throat singing in the background with the rest of the drums, it's...
Yeah, and it makes for a good opener. We already, when we practiced it, and it was David, like, yep, this sets the right mood.
You use your staff to play, your glove to play your staff on this song.
Yes.
Even when
yes.
we practice.
Yes. Yeah, you haven't seen that yet. Oh, we get like...
It's pretty cool.
We didn't get a chance to actually practice that part in person with Jesse yet, so we're gonna do that whole part the next time we get to meet. I'm gonna do the whole show like that. Yeah,
it's
gonna
be. And I remember getting this song from Rissy. I remember we had finished the Kemet EP and the Otherworld, our first music video, and we did a couple lyric videos. And the time came around to, well, we're gonna start making some new material. And they sent me some songs, and there was a couple other songs they sent me first. Awesome songs, love them. And then she was, oh, this one's a little different. So it's going to be a little more laid back in a sense, creepy, slower. So I was really excited to do some vocals on this one. And I really felt like working on my breath work for this one. So I have, in the beginning, I do a lot of just holding the note and maybe rounding it a bit, but really trying to focus on the meditational or ritual aspect of the song. And then after it, you get the fun part, like the little break with the overtones and the, and then at the end, when the beat comes in, then it's more in your face and it's more with the beat and just being as primal as possible. And just, I think really focusing on the ritual aspect of it. I even asked her, do you want like ritual chanting or do you want a musical performance? And she was like, straight up, like, this is about going deep. And I'm like, okay. So just let it out, right? Like, I love working with these guys. It's so great.
Well, and
the song speaks for itself. I've heard from another pagan, it's perfect for ritual magic. And that's a quote.
Yay, that's the point.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, like what Jesse just said, it really, as an opener for when we can play live, I always envision it as like, it's one of those songs when you kind of hear a band, you don't really know what they're about. You're like, that was weird, but I don't know, but I kind of want to watch more, like something to try and entice people, because we haven't been able to play live yet. People don't know that other aspect of how we put in that energy when we are performing it live, because there's a different energy when you're recording it, and then there's a completely different energy when you're actually there singing it live. And I know for me personally, when I sing it live, I do sing it a little bit different than when I do on the recordings, and I think that there's that element there that by having that song first, we'll be able to help set the tone, set the atmosphere of what people can expect when they, are listening to our set, listening to our live performance, And so, yeah, I mean, you can buy it, on our Bandcamp page, Hemnetcher at Bandcamp. You can find all of our social media links on our website, which is hemnetcher.band. We have brand new merch. Dave, show the merch.
Oh, yeah.
Brand new merch t-shirts for Void that have come to my house for purchase on Bandcamp. You will also get the song for free if you buy one. It's will be on Spotify, YouTube Music, our music video for it with our amazing videographer, Joey Chaos. He's a local video guy here in Vancouver. Unbelievable. He's done all of our lyric videos, all of our music videos. He's just such an amazing human and a good friend of ours. You know, with our production help from Scott Fox from the good old Ivarden Sphere. You know, he's great. He's one of the team, one of us. You know, he's helped out with that. But yeah, it's all over, like I said, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Facebook, Instagram, Bandcamp. But to buy it specifically, it's on Bandcamp. So
yeah, and of course, it is also on your IPMA page.
Yes.
And all of the links that go back there, so you can go to ipaganma.org/hemnager, and it will be there. And also there'll be some airplay coming up here. So what message do you want to share with those who will be seeing this this interview?
Just like we're accessible, you know, we're people. These are the faces behind the imagery and the sound. We really do appreciate the listeners. And it's funny because sometimes people just hear it and they're like, I like it. And for us, it's the same thing. You know, it's like a passion. When you're singing and you're a part of something, and yeah, it just feels good to meet people and to hear what people have to say, you know, if how they like it and who's behind the scenes, you know. Like, I find it very interesting to find out about, you know, the people behind the art, so to speak.
Mm.
Right, because the music itself stands alone, and it's on its own. But what about the people? So here we are.
Love it. I'm just looking forward to meeting everybody, preferably in person.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait because it's still just such a different energy. And if you put something out onto the internet, I do that for a living as well. It's really hard to know who is actually resonating or using it and even listening to it. So
yeah.
It's always nice to make that personal connection. And it's just so different when you can like look them in the eye directly in person. That's why, you know, everybody I think is missing live shows.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely echoing what David and Jesse said, live shows. But yeah, you know, like Jesse said, just, you know, we are humans, we're here, we're approachable. Like, you can find my Facebook profile, Raven Rissy, you know, Jesse has his, David has his. We're definitely approachable people, you know. We want to hear from, you know, people who enjoy our music, you know, to find out, like Dave said, because, you know, right now it's like, it is hard to know, because it's internet, what if people like it, don't like it, they really like it, do they really not like it? It's a hard thing to figure out. So yeah, please reach out. It's totally okay. I definitely am a very approachable person, spooky, but approachable. You know, but no, it's, yeah, just so that, you know, just to build that community and keep, you know, people together. And, you know, my hope is that if one person out there goes, oh, I get it, it was so, I understand, that I'm happy. That's all I care about, you know? So it's you know, just about sharing and building that connection with everybody and just being honest and open and vulnerable and just, you know, being your inner true self, really. So hopefully, you know, that shows with what we've been working on. And you know, we're really looking forward to the new album coming out. It's, I think we all, when we listened to the first couple productions, we were like, oh, we upped ourselves. Whew, there was definitely a few times I sat in the kitchen table, literally tears streaming down my face going, my song is alive. Oh my goodness. So, you know, so we are really excited to, you know, share those this year. So follow us.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and get a, just for everybody who's going to watch this, let's get the, so we have the, first we have, we do have the IPMA site, ipaganma.org/mnejer, N-A-N-E-J.
N-E-T-J-E-R. I know.
Right. I knew that. You know, it's 11:30 at night here, so it's a little different. Okay, and please give us the rest of the way to contact you. You said already on Facebook, but let's give them the basic, 2-minute commercial here. It's all yours.
So you can go to our website, which is Hemnetjer, hemnetjer.band. That's our main website. And at the very top, it has all of our social media links. You can click on each of the icons and it will take you directly to there. We have our Spotify page. We have YouTube and YouTube Music, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Facebook, Instagram. You know, there's those two, I update them regularly. So that's definitely, like, Instagram and Facebook are definitely the best ways to generally just keep in touch about what we're doing, or little sneak preview videos, or, you know, preview videos for our new music videos and singles and on merch and all that sort of stuff. And then the last link is our Bandcamp link. And that one right now is the best way to support any local artists or any artists who have one, because most of the proceeds go directly to the band, as opposed to the other places where they take a significant cut of the funds. So Bandcamp is the best way to support artists right now, until live shows and everything happens. And like I said, on there you can find all of the music we've currently released, and as well as our new single. You can find all of the merch, the lovely t-shirt that Dave is wearing, as well as a few others, as well as some handcrafted, ethically sourced, found by myself bone merch from the forests of BC. You can find everything on there, and yeah, we appreciate your support. So thank you guys.
Well, this has been really illuminating. I know that Reese and I had an opportunity to speak before the interview for at length, and then Jesse was on first, so we got a chance to link, but it was really great, David, that I finally get to meet you, David, and, I look forward to us being able to get together. I am honored and pleased, and I thank you for taking this time from your busy schedules to spend this with us. And we look forward to a long and fruitful musical relationship between all of us. And I thank you so much again. Be blessed. Yes. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Stay safe, everybody. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Touch.